Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. It is a victory Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. Always live and free on the Odyssey app. What is up? What is up? Good to have you with us as the Commanders go to 5-2. And that means, boys and girls, children of all ages, that the Washington Commanders have already won more games this year through 7 weeks than they did all of last year.
We are the Commanders.
Yes, yes, you are, Doug. It's great to see Doug this weekend, as always. The Washington Commanders, boys and girls, are 5-2. Now, listen, there is a long, long season ahead. And clearly the number one story on everyone's mind is Jaden Daniels' injury, and we will attack that from as many different angles as we possibly can. You will hear from Dan Quinn, the very latest, at 3:30. Now, don't know if we will get some other national insider guy, dude, that somebody leaked something to. Before then, besides what we have already, which is he's undergoing more tests today. But you will hear from Dan Quinn, and we will get as much the official word as we possibly can at 3:30. Jay Gruden will join us as well, usually in his 3 o'clock slot, just waiting to confirm that. Ben Sinnott scored his first NFL touchdown on his first NFL target on his first NFL reception. Got up with him in the locker room last night for just a couple of minutes. You'll hear from Ben Sinnott in the 2 o'clock hour. We will hear from you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, where we're always live and free. Matty Ice is here. Matt was in attendance. You know how I know? Because I saw him there. We ran into each other. We didn't even plan it. I just found him. In a sea of burgundy and gold.
We definitely didn't plan it. There was definitely no texting going back and forth with, hey,
right,
I'm over here.
Exactly. Hey, come and find me over here. You and I usually have a horrible, wretched history of going to games and the home team losing. Although
we're
I'm riding a heater right now.
Yeah.
The Commanders have won 3 in a row at home with your boy.
And I was at the last home or the last game for the preseason, which they ended up winning that one right down. Now, given there, I left before we were winning.
There you go. But you were in attendance yesterday all the way through at least what? The Ben Sinnott touchdown.
Which happened right in my corner.
And they won. And not only did they win, boys and girls, but they won 40. I don't know why I keep saying boys and girls. I sound like Tony Kornheiser, and I don't want to sound like Tony Kornheiser. They won 40-7.
Woo!
The Washington Commanders won 40-7. They not only won, they destroyed the awful, brutal, dreadful Carolina Panthers. Remember all last week, and I'll raise my right hand because I picked the Carolina Panthers plus the 9.5. Thought the Commanders would win. I was worried about a backdoor cover. You know, 14, 15, 16-point lead late. You know, Carolina just going out, playing out the string. Maybe they, again, get it within, again, the 9, 9.5, depending on what you got it at. You know, and they backdoor cover, and it doesn't look as impressive. Well, nothing to worry about there because the Commanders, as I remarked on Twitter, and nobody got my sarcasm slash humor, which I think I'm pretty good at this stuff, but you guys are all sleeping on me. I said the smarts, not the sharks, not the sharps, the smarts had the Commanders minus the 32, and the Commanders took care of business and won by 33. The only thing they didn't do well enough last night, ultimately, was get the shutout. And if you want to pick, the first drive was a little bit, not great. On both sides. On both sides. But Dante Fowler's pick six, which we're going to get to and how that happened, erased a sloppy start for the Commanders' defense and a good start for the Carolina Panthers on offense. But the big news, of course, again, is Jaden Daniels. Now, by now you've heard his mom's texting, tweeting, whatever. No, he's fine. The team will not officially say that he doesn't have a broken rib, but there are multiple reports, Jordan Schultz, Jeremy Fowler, I don't know who else, who have all said he does not have a broken rib. However, Jordan Schultz was the last I saw on the way in to report, hey man, he's undergoing more tests, which is what Dan Quinn said. We don't know the status of those tests. Again, we hope to get more clarity at 3:30 when we will carry Dan Quinn live. But the bottom line is, there is much more to be worried about than just a broken or fractured rib. And you should know this. If you don't have to be a doctor to know that that is a sensitive area and that there is stuff there that can go wrong and cause a lot of discomfort, if not flat out pain. You should know this. Okay? So just because he doesn't have a broken or fractured rib, as far as we know, and maybe that they didn't find upon retesting today, just because of that does not mean he doesn't have some sort of injury damage or lingering issue that will prevent him from playing this Sunday against Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Before we get necessarily to that, what could it be, right? Well, it could be anything. It could be an abductor muscle. It could be, what do they call that, an oblique. It could be rib cartilage. It could be bruising. It could be any of that stuff. I don't know. You don't know. I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. But I refuse to do what a lot of you dum-dums yelled at me on Twitter last night about right after the game when I cautioned everybody, hey, man, like, we don't know what's going on, even though he's quote-unquote fine. Doesn't mean he's not going to be able, or doesn't mean he's going to be able to throw. Doesn't mean he's not going to be in pain. Doesn't mean he's going to be able to practice fully this week. Doesn't mean he's going to be able to play this Sunday against the Chicago Bears. So stop it with your nonsense and stop accusing me of doing something nefarious because you think that I hate everything and I'm negative. Shove it. Go kick all the rocks. Woo! I had absolutely no patience last night when I'm accused of being some negative piece of garbage because I pointed out, hey, man, we don't know. Just because they say it's fine, we don't know. And we still don't know. And we probably won't know fully. And even if Dan Quinn today at 3:30, when he addresses the media right here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app, you will hear it. Even if Dan Quinn says, yeah, you know, no rib, no fracture, no whatever, but, you know, there's some stuff going on, bruising, swelling. Maybe it's, again, an abdominal strain. Maybe it's an abductor. Maybe it's an oblique. Whatever he says, we won't know. Unless Dan Quinn specifically comes out, which nobody is expecting, certainly I do not, and says, hey, man, Jaden Daniels has got this, fill in the blank, and he's out for the next 2 to 4 weeks. Now, that could happen. That could happen. I'm not expecting it, but that could happen. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we will even know until Friday at the earliest. If I had to bet, that's when we'll find out for sure whether Jaden Daniels is playing, not playing, and even for sure might be a stretch. I expect this to be a week-long saga. Maybe they'll handle it differently. I don't know. Maybe they have something more definitive today that we don't know yet. We will see. Hopefully, he's got a chance at playing. Hopefully, there's a pain tolerance level that will allow him to breathe, sneeze, cough, run around. He can't get hit in practice, but he sure can jostle it around, and he certainly sure as hell can get hit in the game if they even decide to play him. My early read on this is I would say he's got a, if I had to guess right now, before we hear from Dan Quinn, I would lean more towards him playing than not playing, but I am very, very, very iffy on this. But I would, again, lean more. Listen up. Unclean your ears or, you know, get the wax out of your ears. I am very iffy on this, but I lean slightly. Again, before we hear from Dan Quinn, I lean slightly to him being able to play. Whether that holds up or not, that'll depend on what they found out in testing and pain tolerance and also just safety and precaution. Like, it's a huge game against a surging Bears team off of a bye, and Caleb Williams and 425 and Tony Romo and this, that, and the other thing. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care about the television networks. I don't care about stupid television ratings. I don't care about Pepsi votes of the year and rookie of the year award campaigns that you people are all running. I don't care about any of it. Not one rat's ass about it. I care about Jaden Daniels being as healthy as possible so that when he goes back to play, and whether that's this Sunday, next Sunday at MetLife Stadium, two Sundays from now against the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Jaden Daniels goes back to play, he is as safe and as healthy as possible. That's what I care about. I don't give a rat's ass about television ratings like you all do. I don't care. It means nothing. I don't care about line scores and spreads and public Joe money and all that nonsense. Do not care. They made the absolute right decision and right move regardless of what their initial testing told them, regardless of what the initial prognosis was, and oh, by the way, I find it very interesting that Dan Quinn didn't have any information after the game when clearly they had to take him into the x-ray machine during the first half. What do we think they were doing? They were playing tiddlywinks in the locker room? Of course not. But Dan Quinn didn't want to say it. He had some information. He didn't want to say it. Fine. Hopefully we'll get more at 3:30 today. But the bottom line is they made the absolute 1,000% right decision to not put him back in. There was no need. It was the Carolina Panthers. No offense to them. No offense to my guy, D'Angelo Hall, who's a coach who I got to catch up with for a couple of good minutes right outside of the Panthers locker room. Had a great little conversation with him. It was great to see D. Hall. Always enjoyed my conversations with him. Always enjoyed covering. Told me he's loving the coaching thing. It's not as hard as he thought. A lot of hours, but, you know, I mean, obviously, he's, you know, one of the first things he said to me was like, boy, look at how things have changed around here. Yeah. And because of five, largely, not exclusively, but largely because of number five. And that's why there was no chance he was going back in. And that's why I would take no chances as much as you can humanly possibly take to even get him on the field for Sunday if there's any question, any doubt, and there should be. I don't know how a medical staff, doctors, and experts could have no concern, but maybe they won't. I'm sure they'll figure something out. But the bottom line is, the organization made the right move. He was not needed yesterday. You know what? I'll say this. Good job. I didn't see this live because There's so much commotion. Like, on the big run to start the game, on the very first play, 46 yards. Now, again, that's not the first play of the game. Clearly, Carolina had two possessions before Washington even had one. On the 46-yarder, Kevin talked about this on his show, so I want to give credit, because I did not see this live. There was just a lot of bodies in the way. It's not a great setup, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to bitch. It's just not a great setup. But Jaden Daniels clearly goes down awkwardly, kind of tumbles forward, and gets, I don't want to say twisted, but he gets kind of bent around like a pretzel. And the belief now is that's where he got hurt. I thought live, because I did not see how he went down and, you know, basically his reaction until I slowed it down, I thought it was, quite honestly, later in the drive on the 3-yard loss on the read option get when he grabs at his midsection. I didn't see anything before that. But again, you know, I may have missed it. I can't see everything. But that's where I thought it happened. And then he stayed in for one more play, a short pass to Eckler for 3 yards on 3rd and 8. And then that causes the field goal. And he comes out. He goes to the gets immediate attention on the sideline. They bring him over to the table, the blue tent. He comes out of the blue tent, 3 and out, possession, good pass breakup by Sainristil. Still, Jaden comes out during the break. He's starting to warm up with Marcus Mariota throwing on the side, and I saw it as one throw. Maybe it was more than one throw, but I thought it was one throw. And immediately he's grimacing in pain. Not grimace as in grimace that decorates our studio here, grimacing in pain, and he immediately goes off, slams his helmet, and he's pissed because he's in a lot of pain. And rightfully so. He's a competitor. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. He's, you know, he's a tough dude, and he's in a lot of pain. And that was it. That was the day. And that's obviously the number one story, but the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Now it's time for the rest of the story. You have to be of a certain age to know who Paul Harvey is. He's long gone. A radio pioneer, a radio icon, and had a very unique voice and delivery. The rest of the story is coming up next. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, you can join us for your side of the story, your perspective, at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get out to the calls in just a couple of moments if you line up now. 301-230-0980. And you can tweet me or send me a message on X at WrestleMania621 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is a victory Motown Monday in the nation's capital, and the Commanders are 5-2, stay in first place in the NFC East, and whoop ass on the Carolina Panthers, 40-7 at Northwest Stadium to celebrate and honor Darryl Green. Before we get to, as we mentioned, the rest of the story, and before we get to the calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, I do want to point out something that Matt brought up before we get to the whole rest of the game, but I want to bring it up because I thought it was actually really cool that he thought about it, and I did not. So the Commanders were up 20-0 after a Seibert 49-yard field goal. And they take possession near the end of the first half at the 8-yard line. I think it was at the 8-yard line. It was at the 8-yard line. And they're already, again, up 20-0. You'd think, with 2 minutes and 22 seconds left, time to kind of play it conservatively, time to rest on our laurels. We got nothing to see here, nothing to do here, no big deal here. And just the opposite. Just the opposite. The Commanders slam on the gas pedal and go 92 yards. 92 yards in 2 minutes and 12 seconds because they scored with 10 seconds left.
16.
Was it 16 seconds?
16 seconds left on the clock, yeah.
Oh, you know what? No, 16 seconds was when they ran the play.
Oh, that was the start of the play. You're right.
So then, and this is again with Mariota in, right? This is with a 20-0 lead. They go down the field, right? Mariota had been struggling up until this point. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest. I said to Grant Paulson, who sits right next to me in the press box, I said, if this guy's got to play for a long time, they are in trouble. I said, right before that, maybe a play or two into that series, I said, not looking good. If he's got to play, boy, is he rusty. Now, remember, he played the final like 12 minutes of the Cleveland game, but he missed a lot of practice time, missed the preseason because of the injury that he had, missed the first 4 games of the season, played in that Cleveland game. That was his first game back, but that was it, right? So maybe I should have been a little bit more patient because he started to cook on that drive. After a defensive holding penalty against Carolina, he had a short completion for 7 yards to Zach Ertz on first down, an 18-yard to midfield to Terry McLaurin on 2nd and 3. Then follows that up with another 15-yarder on a crossing route to the right side, Washington to McLaurin. Washington uses their 2nd timeout in that particular spot with 39 seconds left. They're at midfield, right? They after they run that play, they use the 2nd timeout, and now they're at Carolina's 35-yard line.
It's important to note that they do all of this no huddle.
Yes, absolutely correct, which is the way you would normally...
But you're pointing out, Marcus Mariota hasn't had a whole lot of practice,
exactly.
Hasn't worked
right.
with the team,
Good
and
point.
They're still running an up-speed, fast-paced offense
now,
with no huddle.
I mean, it's not like he's never played before, so
no.
He's certainly been in the... But to your point, he hasn't had a lot of practice time, he hasn't had a lot of game time.
You would expect certainly a not, veteran quarterback to do that,
exactly.
But you don't always see it.
So then... After the McLaurin 15-yard reception, goes incomplete on first down. Then he dials up a 23-yarder on a little crossing round to Diami Brown, sort of over the middle of the field, down to the Carolina 12-yard line. And then on 1st and 10, he rolls to his right and finds Zach Ertz for Zach Ertz's first touchdown with the Washington Commanders. Now, that in and of itself notable, okay, fine. But the bottom line is the Commanders ran a 92-yard drive up 20-0 with a backup quarterback, and to Matt's point, no huddle, which, again, some of that is game dictated. I don't know if they would have been up-tempo or speed tempo if there wasn't, like, a time thing.
Yeah.
They obviously had a time crunch, so we have to keep that in mind. But still impressive. And they score, and they make it 27-0. But, Matt, you pointed out something to me that was pretty interesting that I didn't think of with what was ahead at halftime.
Yeah, this is, I would say, my one and only true complaint for Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn. It was 26-0 with them being able to score the extra point. They decided to go for 2. Then with 10 seconds left, there would have been a kneel. And then going into halftime where they retired number 28's jersey, the score would have been 28-0.
If you would have made the 2-point conversion.
If you made it, yes.
Instead, they kicked the extra point, and it was only 27-0.
Which, I mean, I'll take a 27-point win.
Right.
Or not win, lead. But it would have been real cool if it had been 28-0.
I think the 27-point halftime lead, they haven't had a lead that big since 2005.
Yeah.
Which should tell you a lot of things. 2005 was a long time ago. Like,
let's see. 2005, I was 12.
Yeah. Long time ago. But the point being is, your point being, and I didn't think about this, how cool would it have been, the symmetry, the meaning? Now,
well,
again,
they also gave out the tickets that all were row 28, seat 28, section 28. So that was the joke of everything was 28. And if the score is actually 28-0 going in, oh,
I mean, it would have been, but I didn't even think about that in the moment and until you mentioned it to me right before the show, I think is a really good point. Now, listen, I mean, if you go for two, right, you risk looking like a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because you're,
I mean, you're
pummeling
a jerk regardless.
Them.
If you're going for two yeah. when you're up by 26 yeah. points, you're being a jerk.
And you know, like, as an extension of this, later on in the game, I think it was like early-ish fourth quarter, I would have to double check the exact time. They had a fourth and one at the Carolina 11, and Dan Quinn brings out the field goal team, and the fans are booing. The fans are booing because they've been so damn good on fourth down. They wanted a 40 burger, which they eventually got, but the fans are booing Dan Quinn for running out the field goal. It was not the field goal that made it 40-7. It was actually late third quarter. My bad. I screwed up. It was about a minute and a half left to go in the third quarter. They were up 34-0, and they brought out Seibert on a fourth and one at the Carolina 13 for a field goal, and the fans booed. So somebody told me that the fans were just joking. I'm sure they weren't really mad, but it was funny in the moment because it was noticeable, it was audible, and I heard it, and I was like, this is where we're at. This is 2024. This is how cool it is to be in command land.
Feels good.
The fans were upset, in quotations, that Dan Quinn was running out the field goal unit up 34-0 because they wanted more blood.
I mean, how many times have you seen Commanders bleed on the field and our team getting run out of here in our own home stadium? I mean, it felt good to be on the opposite side of that
once. Yes, sir. 301-230-0980, your calls coming straight up. That's just part of the rest of the story because really it started on the first drive and back and forth. We will mix in everything. Again, your reaction to what you hope, see, think about Jaden Daniels, how you want them to proceed in lieu of not knowing at this point just yet until we get a verified national report more than what we already have, which I have not seen any new reports. And again, you will hear from Dan Quinn to get some sort of definitive word at 3:30 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. But first, a trending alert. And again, Dan Quinn will address reporters at 3:30 via teleconference, and we will carry it live here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app so you get the first word from the head coach after his team rocked and rolled 40-7 over the Carolina Panthers to improve to 5-2 yesterday. Up next, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears coming off their bye week and certainly improving on both sides of the ball. Should be an awesome atmosphere. 4:25 this Sunday, regardless of whether Jaden Daniels plays. And again, we don't know the exact status of Jaden Daniels, but we certainly hope to get more definitive word from Dan Quinn coming up at 3:30 right here on the Team 980. As far as Deshaun Watson, he had an MRI this morning, and it did indeed confirm that he has a ruptured right Achilles tendon, suffered in yesterday's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. He will, of course, undergo surgery and miss the rest of the year, but a full recovery, the team says, is expected. Aiden O'Connell, the Vegas Raiders quarterback, broken thumb. He's on IR, out 4 to 6 weeks. And as you know, probably, Brandon Ayuk, who had such a interesting offseason, to say the least, then signed a big money deal with the San Francisco 49ers to stay there. Blew out his ACL, according to Kyle Shanahan yesterday. No official word today after an MRI, but that is the full expectation, and that's what's trending. All right, it is a Victory Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. Good to have you aboard with us. And again, we'll keep you up to date as far as we can see and know. We'll have Dan Quinn at 3:30 to hopefully update us further on Jaden Daniels. I'm slightest of leans towards he plays. I don't know. We won't probably know until at least 3:30, and I would venture a guess that we're not even going to find out exactly what his status for the rest of the week is on 3:30. Don't call me a hater. Don't be stupid. I'm just simply mentioning that there could be a bunch of different things beyond just a fractured, cracked, broken rib. We mention abductor. We mention oblique. We mention cartilage, bruising. You don't know. I don't know. These are all possibilities. It could be a pain tolerance thing. It could be a medical clearance thing. We do not know. But I simply refuse to do the show and just be a mansy-pansy so I don't offend you guys. I simply refuse to do that. We talk about what is possible. We find out what is real. That's what we try and do on this show. Nobody is going to sit here and say, because mommy tweeted before halftime of the game last night, that everything's good and that he'll be under center 425 on Sunday. Now, I did want to get to this before we get out to some calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On the first drive for the Carolina Panthers, this is so lost in the sauce because of everything that happened. The first drive for the Carolina Panthers, they were moving the damn ball. Remember they had that jet sweep little handoff give to Miles Sanders, who took it. I mean, they designed it well. He took it around left end and ran for 26 yards. And I thought to myself, oh, God, that's not good. Because we know what kind of trouble this team has had stopping the run. We all talked about Chuba Hubbard, who they faked it to, and instead it was Miles Sanders, who everybody has forgotten about, and maybe for good reason, and boom, 26 yards. And then after that, Andy Dalton threw a somewhat contested pass, 17 yards, to Deontay Johnson. But right then and there, the Commanders' defense woke up. Right then and there, they decide, oh, hey, the game has started. Dante Fowler had a massive pass rush. I mean, barreling down on Andy Dalton, who was drifting away to force a stupid, dumb, horrific decision from a veteran quarterback to throw flailing away to his right all the way back towards the Carolina sideline. I mean, it hung up in the air. I have no idea how it wasn't defended or knocked down, but instead, Xavier Leggett couldn't get to it, couldn't catch it. It was just a terrible, terrible decision by Andy Dalton. But Dante Fowler had the big pass rush to set it up, to force it. Okay? The next play, second and 10, Chuba Hubbard, towards the left, runs for a yard, but why? Because Cleveland Farrell, at the right defensive end spot, blows him up. Beats his block. Destroys the play. And boom, it's now 3rd and 9. And on 3rd and 9, Andy Dalton, again, under pressure coming from the right defensive end spot, that is Cleveland Farrell's spot. And he's kind of drifting away from it. And the pressure is not right there, but it's close enough that it certainly causes hurry or a quick decision and a bad decision at that. And he flings one, and Dante Fowler is just basically not standing there, but right there. And I thought initially it went off of Sanders' hands, initially, live. But it didn't. And it goes right into Fowler's arms. And he starts running up the field at the Carolina 33, my bad. Right around there. And he starts going up the field, and he's got to kind of juke, shake Andy Dalton, and then it's off to the races. And I talked to him after the game, and I had pointed this out on Twitter. He had had two fumble recoveries returned for touchdowns, but he had never had an interception and therefore never a pick six. So that was his first ever pick six. If you think about it, right, his first ever pick six, the Commanders had their biggest lead at halftime since 2005. Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott became the first two tight ends to score in the same game since 2013 for the Washington NFL franchise. They lead the NFL by far pending the resolution to tonight's Baltimore-Tampa Bay game, which could be a high-scoring game, by far in offensive points scored and total points scored. I mean, again, each and every week we are coming up with accolade after record after accolade after achievement. Now, sometimes, most of the time it's Jaden Daniels. Obviously, this week it wasn't. But you wonder when it's almost going to stop. Like, you wonder. And it might stop this week. Even if Jaden plays, the Bears' defense is really good. And by the way, the Giants' defense still is tough enough that I will respect them. Now, they got all sorts of problems, which we can get into at a different time. And then the Steelers' defense, and we know how good they are, right? So it is going to get real tough, real quick, real fast. And for those of you that are saying, well, they haven't beaten anybody, some of that, partially, that is true. I mean, your four wins are against Cleveland, Arizona, the Giants, who you shouldn't have probably beaten, and Carolina. Carolina, Cleveland, the Giants, Arizona, and Cincinnati. I was forgetting Cincinnati in there. Again, you can make an argument that there is a tough team in that group, but it's not like that's murderer's row. It is about to get a lot tougher, regardless of whether Jaden plays or not, this week. 301-230-0980. So that was just the first defensive drive. I will say this. I was a little bit, what are we doing here? After the defense forces a three and out, saying we're still with a great pass breakup on third down, after the pick six, I was a little bit like, what are we doing here? On the first offensive drive, Jaden rips off the 46-yarder. He kind of takes an awkward tumble, almost like a somersault tumble. Again, didn't notice it right then and there, but I guess he grabbed at his midsection at some point right after that play. And then there was a couple plays run, a few runs Brian Robinson mixed in, but Jaden with a quarterback keeper off of read option on a first and 10 at Carolina's 21. Then they run a direct snap to Brian Robinson. He gets 6 yards. Then Jaden throws to Terry McLaurin, short completion. Then Jaden on the read option quarterback keeper up the middle. That's when I thought he got hurt because he immediately and noticeably grabs for his midsection. That's a 3-yard loss. Then he gets rid of one real quickly on the 3rd and 8, and they have to kick a field goal. It was disappointing to me, A, that they didn't get a touchdown on that particular drive after the great start. But again, some of that is because Jaden was clearly not right. 2, that Jaden feeling something, and I assume this is him because, again, on the read, you read the play, so it's not like it's a call in from Cliff on a designed run, but it is essentially an extended design run, right, where the possibility exists based on the read that, you know, he was clearly not 100% and we're still running him. Now, again, maybe they didn't know on the sideline until the end. I don't know. We're going to hopefully get some more clarity on that. But I was kind of disappointed that, A, the drive fell short, and, B, that maybe there was some more damage done. I don't know. I mean, they immediately got him medical attention when he came off the field after the 3rd and 8 play. But could they have done something before? Either by design, by play call or that somebody missed? I don't know. But I have to wonder, I have to go, what exactly happened here? And again, it's not like they're calling quarterback power or quarterback sneak, but when you run RPOs in your offense, when you run read option, just by inherent nature, there's some element of risk and design to it. So it's not pure design, but it is some nature of design. And nobody seemed to notice it, and Jaden didn't say anything. And maybe he got hurt more on that second to last play of the game. I don't know, because that's when I first noticed him grabbing his midsection. But again, he certainly was showing some sign right after that first play, and he took a really weird tumble. A really weird tumble at the end of that play. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but something apparently happened in between all that that maybe could have been prevented. I don't know. But either way, it's lost because they kicked the field goal, right? It's a chippy. It's a 23-yarder, and they're up 10-0, and it's off to the races. And then right after that, Jaden comes out of the blue tent, tries to throw. Immediately in pain, he comes out. We know he's going back to the locker room. We know he's probably done for the day at that point. He doesn't come back out for the rest of the first half. Mariota comes in, struggles a little bit. They get the run game going with Robinson. They're up 17-0, a field goal 20-0, and then again that drive right before the half that we mentioned. All right, 301-230-0980-150. We'll take a timeout. I see you guys lining up. We will get to you on the other side and get you aboard. 301-230-0980. It's just a lot to do and a lot to cover and a lot to explain, or a lot to try and explain. You know, for a 40-7 game, there was a lot of nuance in all of this, and that's our job, right? 301-230-0980, your call's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. As we approach 2 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Again, coming up next hour, you'll hear from tight end Ben Sinnott. As well, I want to pass this along. My buddy the Birdman sent this to me, so I appreciate him. John Callis, the dude, the idiot, the moron, the maniac that punched out two Commanders fans last Sunday night on a street in Baltimore for no reason in the Lamar jersey and then was yelling like he was something special, has turned himself into police finally, 8 days later. I mean, he should rot in jail forever. And occasionally be splashed with acid. That's how I would take care of it. We'll have business on the Monumental front and on the Capital One Arena front later on. But now we get to you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's squeeze in, let's do this here. Ken and Waldorf here before the top of the hour. I see Ken's got an interesting comment. Go right ahead, Ken. I assume you're mad at me about something.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Russell. How are you today?
I'm okay. It's the way Matt put it up was have you ever played professional sports? He tried to play through an injury. All right, I thought you were going to be mad at me. Sorry about that. Go right ahead.
I was at first, but then I figured I'm in traffic, so it's no use in being mad at two things. So anyway,
well, you're correct about that. Let's commend you for that. But two, let me just say before you go into your spiel, and I'll let you talk. Like, you understand, like when you say mad at me, you understand that, you know, I'm tippy toeing on a very delicate line here, a very blurry line. We just don't know what's going on and how this might play out.
Yeah, you're good. I mean, really, I just want to ease your mind, really, because. So I play football. I play running back. I play wide receiver. So I was always kind of getting dinged up, running through the middle or whatever. But if you ask, matter of fact, if you get a chance to ask Sinnott, ask him if he's ever been injured and didn't tell the coaches because he thought he would be able to play through it.
Oh, and guys, yeah, happens, guys right? Do that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what happened with our. I was going to say RG3. It did happen.
Yeah, just so you know, right? By the way, Sinnott is taped. I talked to him after the game in the locker room last night. But yes, to your point.
Okay.
No, I totally get that, Ken. I'm not saying that it was the coach's fault or what. I found it interesting, right? Because he was grabbing a little bit at his midsection, and certainly on that second down 3 yard loss run, and then they left him in there for another play. Now, again, you're right. He's trying to play through it. He's gutty. He's a warrior. He's tough. He doesn't want to come out. I get all of that. I have a responsibility, I think, to say, hey, we don't know exactly what happened, but On this play, the first play from scrimmage, the 46-yarder, he appeared to take a weird tumble and then grab at some point his midsection, and somebody missed it, and he certainly didn't tell them or make it noticeable. And to each of their credit, right, they try and keep going because you don't know. But, you know, there was about a 7 or 8 play sequence after that, and I don't know. I mean, maybe they did. Maybe he did some more damage. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the game, and I saw when he went down on the tackle on the first play, and he got up and ran back to the huddle, and everything was great. And then when he got pulled out, I saw him on the sideline throwing the ball, and the next thing I know, you know, Mariota's in the game. Yeah. And the same thing happened when you look at Brown. Brown, after his catch, he got up, he was limping. You know, they were running no huddle. He goes, and, you know, he gets into the pattern, and he runs his route and everything, but then he goes out. But he was noticeably limping. Not the same with, you know, JD, so maybe he did miss it. Maybe, again, you put your hand on your stomach. I mean, you know, it's nobody's going to catch that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I guess my point is maybe it wasn't bad enough for, like, where it was so clearly obvious, because apparently it did not break, right? So that's a really good news. That's a really good thing. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is the rib area in general, okay, that area, whether it's a rib, cartilage, bruising, swelling, what is such a sensitive area that he could walk away from this, hey, no cracked ribs, no broken bones, no nothing, and still be out for a game, 2 games, whatever, because, again, he could have done some other kind of damage, I don't know what, and it could be just purely a pain tolerance issue. And don't forget, it's not just about him throwing the football. It's, can he take a hit? And can he, you know, can he bounce off of a helmet on a run, like a 46-yard run, and still be okay if they play him this Sunday?
Yeah, but I take heart in this, that it is a learning experience, that he's, you know, he's a competitive guy, and over time I think he's really going to start being more, just a little bit more intentional with getting down. I know that was one of those situations where he couldn't get down, but I think he was actually trying to get down, which was probably the cause of his injury.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, maybe
he was kind of jumping down to a knee.
Yeah, you're right, because he kind of like awkwardly tumbles down, and as he's being sort of, you know, pulled down, no doubt about it. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate you. I got to let you run because we're up against it. More of your calls coming straight up. I see you, Ron. I see you, Ray. Lou, we'll get to you. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Team 980 and the Odyssey app.